The Frank Fontana Show.
I am not afraid to speak frankly.
It's life improvement.
Frankly, this means honestly.
The Frank Fontana Show.
You want to know why? Because I'm frankly speaking.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana, and yes, we are frankly speaking. It's time now to turn the focus a little something more serious, and this time I'm really excited about this topic and our guest. You ever just stop for a second and realize you're bound for something greater than what you are experiencing right now in your life, but you just don't know how to get to that next place? Well, if you're that person, and we've all been there, I don't care how successful you are, you all have been in a place where there's ups and downs, and you just don't know what's coming around that corner, and maybe you're second-guessing yourself, and you don't have the tools. Well, Doreen Rainey is joining me right now. She's a radical success coach with Steve Harvey's Act Like a Success experience. Doreen, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about the experience and how this all came about.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, Steve Harvey wrote a book, Act Like a Success, Think Like a Success.
I recall it.
Most recently, Jump. And he explained the principles and concepts that he's used in his life and the lessons he's learned to create the success that he has. And he wanted a way to bring the book to life, to be able to reach out to the masses and help them implement those principles into their own lives. And so he started a company called Act Like a Success, and I have the privilege to run that company for him and partner with him to get that mission out into the world.
Let's start there. How did you get yourself to that successful position?
So I had a company, and I still do, a Radical Success Institute, where I did coaching and training around personal development and entrepreneurship. And my networking and community, I became associated with someone, Lisa Nichols, who is a transformational coach, who was working with Steve at the time. And as he was talking about this new mission, this new concept that he wanted to start, it was very clear that his time doesn't necessarily allow for him to be so hands-on with the other 5-6 television shows that he has. And so she recommended me to him. She knew of my business strategies, the way I had built my own company, and that my integrity and mission aligned with what he wanted to put out into the world.
Interesting. So in your opinion and in your experience, what is the number one thing holding people back from greatness?
I think the number one thing is fear. And when people ask me, what does it mean to get radical? I always tell them it's defined as being able to identify what success looks like for you. And then the second part of that is having the guts to go after it. We live in a society where our culture, the media, our parents, they'll try to tell us what success should be. And we need to tap into our own talents and gifts and decide, man, this is what I was put here to do. And then once you discover that, you've got to have the courage and the boldness to overcome the fear to be able to move into living that life.
Interesting. Now, do you think that where sometimes it gets convoluted is that success equates to financial success?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have become a society of a narrow definition of success.
Because I would say most people, when you say success, instantly
think
financially.
Money. Yes. Yes. And I challenge people to first think about how is it that they want to spend their days? What are they gifted to do? Steve defines it as the thing you do the best with the least amount of effort. And when you discover that, then you can begin to choose, now, how do I want to use this gift? And that might lead you to having a farm where you have chickens and you teach kids about the earth and, plants. That might lead to a corporate office on the 100th floor of a high-rise building. But you can only decide what it means for you once you understand what your gift is.
Interesting. Now, how do you do that? How do you decide? How do you figure out? I mean, I'm good at a lot of things. I'm sure a lot of people listening are good at a lot of things. When is it you're like, all right, I'm going to hone in on this?
Right. It's the thing that you keep coming back to. And many of us, if we think back to when we were younger or when we were children, those things that we enjoy doing. You know, I think about Nate Berkus, who was a designer. He said as a child, every time the seasons changed, he'd rearrange his room. You know, he didn't have a lot of money. He wasn't buying and shopping. He'd flip the pillows or he'd change the covers. And now he's a world-renowned designer. I knew a clothing designer who used to lay on the floor and do chalk outlines of her body to create her own clothes. And then she grew up to be a designer. So the first thing I think we need to do is what keeps coming back.
Right.
And that will help you to understand what your gift is.
And what about for the stubborn out there who hear what you're saying, but just cannot break their cycles and stop listening to people and are afraid? What is the radical movement that you would say, do this and your life will change?
The first thing I would want people to do is to identify someone that has achieved what they want to achieve and become what I would call a legal stalker.
Legal is the key word there.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we live in a great society of technology. So we can Google people. We can read about people. And we can see, man, if they were able to do it, and these are the obstacles and challenges that they had to overcome, maybe there is some hope for me. And let me start to connect with other people who have that same hope. And then we can encourage each other.
So modeling those who you look up to.
Absolutely. Maybe researcher we should use.
Yes, researcher. Yeah.
Researcher.
Researcher. Yeah.
It's all about the word usage
all
here.
All about the word language.
And so when you get into somebody's head and you get into their life, how much time are you spending with them? And you know, does that vary?
It varies. And we do it in several different ways, whether it's private coaching, whether it's through a workshop, whether it's through an online class. And one of the first things we do is we take them through an assessment so that they can actually see where they are. And the next step is then to take responsibility for where you are.
What are some of the questions you ask in your initial assessment?
Some of those questions may be, what are some goals that you should have already accomplished? That will be a great eye opener. What are some things you should have already accomplished?
That ends in tears, I'm sure, a lot of times.
Yes. If you could identify the top three reasons why you feel stuck, what would they be? If you could decide to take one action step that could break you out of your rut, what would that action step be? And so it just begins a conscious interrupt into their daily mindset, their daily activities, and makes them stop and take an inside look at themselves.
Hmm. And how about the idea that some people are born with the fire in their belly and some people aren't?
I think that when you identify your gift and you decide that you will not leave this earth without demonstrating that gift, the fire is there.
So you stoke that fire.
You stoke that fire. One of my favorite quotes of all times is from Henry David Thoreau. And he says, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. And so a lot of times I ask my clients, what is your quiet desperation? And that goes back to what should you have accomplished? What was from your childhood? And that fire, man, it starts to get fanned and you feel compelled to like get in action, do something, move forward.
If somebody wanted to sign up for the experience or come be a part of the Institute, tell us about how they do that.
So they can go check us out at actlikeasuccess.com. And we have a variety of ways to help you get started on your success journey, moving to the next level. Steve has a 21-day jump challenge that's absolutely free, gives you some small steps to move forward with. And then we also have a great Facebook group, 50,000 strong,
nice.
Encouraging, motivating, lots of teachings and free advice and all the strategies you need to keep moving forward.
And Steve himself, you know, people see one side of celebrity, but don't understand what it really takes and what goes on behind the scenes. They just, you know, that's the curtain and then there's what's behind the curtain.
Absolutely. People think that people wake up on the mountaintop, not understanding that every person, nobody gets a pass from the ups and downs of life. Yeah. And if you look back at Steve's history, you know, he lived in a car for several years as he was trying to build his comedy career. He's had financial challenges that he's been openly talking about. And so there is a level of commitment and tenacity that every person must tap into if they want to achieve the level of success that they
say. I think that you hit it in the nail there, the nail on the head right there is, you know, to be a successful person, it doesn't always mean you have millions in the bank. Right. But it does sometimes, you know, that's the goal is you want to work so hard and be tenacious to achieve, you know, personal and financial success. At least I do. But I, you know, I think the wherewithal, the ability to get punched in the face, punched in the stomach, kicked in the head and get back up and keep going forward. You know, like one of my favorite quotes in the world is from Rocky Balboa. Yeah. You know, like in the last Rocky movie.
Yeah.
You know, life isn't a bunch of, you know, sunshine and flowers all the time. You know, you gotta take a punch and keep going.
You gotta take the punch and keep going, and you have to understand that everybody has to. Sometimes we look to our left or to our right, and we think for some reason that person didn't have to go. It all just magically worked out for them. Or they knew the right person.
Well, social media contributes to that. Let's just be real.
Absolutely. You see the highlights of people's lives. And sometimes they're not even highlights. Sometimes they're just lies. And so you start to feel like something's wrong with you. And the truth is, it's not. Everyone has to go through some challenges and break through some barriers to ultimately experience what they want in life.
Now, my producer Dave was just talking to me in my ear. We were talking about, you know, like today's generation of youth, and the millennials, we'll call them. Mm-hmm. You know, you got every excuse. You got ADD. You got society. You got, you know, this disorder, that disorder, and that's the reason I'm not, you know, going out there and making it happen. And that's not it's not a blanket statement. Mm-hmm. It's just a generalized statement for you know what I hear a lot. Yeah. You know, I'm in the media. I hear it a ton. Oh, you know, ADD is the cause of this or this disease or that mental illness. How much of it is it an excuse? And I know there's people seriously suffering from this, so I'm not putting anybody down.
Right.
But to a degree, it's like whatever happened to the days of grinding, getting up, fighting the fight, making it happen, taking the hits, and keep going.
Well, I think technology has played a huge role in that because it somehow convinced people that time served has been reduced to like seconds versus weeks, months, years, and sometimes decades. And we've become skewed in our sense of success takes time, and we get really impatient, and we don't realize that that doesn't change just because we have access to social media and technology. It can help, and it can, you know, curb that learning time a little bit. But overall, there has to be day in and day out effort, working, and tenacity that gets people where they ultimately want to be.
So guys like Anthony Robbins, Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk, these guys that are today's, you know, mentors and leaders in the self-help motivational world, what do you feel about those guys, you know, in terms of, you know, what you do?
Well, I think that the great thing that they do is they show people very vividly, especially Gary Vee, the effort and the work that it takes. And there's definitely a hustle element to it, but hustle doesn't mean frantic, overwhelmed, anxiety-filled. When you're hustling and grinding, that means focused, intentional action. How are you managing your time? Are you saying no when you need to say no to create time?
I missed
time?
If you said you like Gary Vee or you're...
No, I mean, he has a great way of showing the hustle.
He's real.
Like, that, yeah, right, yeah. The real that goes into it. But hustle doesn't mean frazzled and overwhelmed. It means that you are intentionally focused. And what we do is we use our time for things that aren't getting us where we need to be, whether it's too much television, whether it's too much Candy Crush, whether you're doing things with people that you don't want to do, committees, associations. And we have to be bold and courageous enough to say, wait, I'm going to make my goals a priority. And so I'm going to have to start cutting this out, cutting that out, saying no to this, and focus and concentrate on where I want to go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And stop taking on everyone else's crap.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Not your circus, not your monkeys.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's huge for many people, especially sometimes for women, because they tend to put everyone else's needs first. And we have to get rid of feeling guilty or selfish for saying, I want to live a life that I was created and intended to live.
Okay. I'm going to challenge you on this one. How about, with that said, moms?
Mm-hmm.
Moms, I mean, my wife included. It's hard, you know, like I sit there, I watch her sometimes and the kids are so demanding and she wants to do so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter's 3 and 5.
Right.
And for all the moms out there, like, how do you tell a mom, you know, put yourself first, be selfish, do this and be successful? Like, and I know moms do it.
Right.
And God bless them.
Right.
But in general, it's a hard job.
It's a hard job, and it goes back to defining success for yourself. And so I had a mom yesterday in our workshop, and so I said her goal should be, how can she just figure out to take 5 minutes of her own time to just be with herself and reconnect with herself? It doesn't mean that you have to go out and take on the world. For some moms, that's exactly what they want to do, and they figure out how to do it. But we can't do a one-size-fits-all. We got to figure out how can we live, honor ourselves, and still manage the day-to-day of our activities, family, and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I try my darnest to keep her motivated and people, you know, like mm-hmm. the moms out there motivated to really just go for it and just keep their dream alive while you're, you know, taking that step backwards because mm-hmm. it's not over. You know, it's just a different time and different energy displacement. But when it comes back around, you're going to have that energy to, you know, do those things. But it's like, you know, it'd be great to find that little bit of a formula that yes. gives their mom, the hope.
Right.
You know,
right.
Aside from the occasional mani-pedi. You know,
right. And again, I think it also goes back to community. And if you can connect and associate with other moms who are doing that and they can give you their tips and advice on what's been working for them. And then you can mesh all of those to create the way that works best for
yeah.
you.
Now, people hanging out with the wrong people. Let's talk mm-hmm. about this. You know, if you're success minded and you go to your radical success programs, but you go right back to the same environment with the grumpy uncle, the sister who's negative, your friends who are naysayers and say, oh, you ain't going to be on TV. You ain't going to get a radio show. You're not going to do this. How do you change one's environment, you right. know, radically mm-hmm. enough to sustain the teachings that you're talking about?
Yes, and that's a great question. And I think the key is you have to stay connected to the new community that you just became involved in. Whether it is local with some networking groups, whether it's online, the great thing now is with Facebook groups and forums, you have the ability to tap into that motivation, that inspiration, that support, and that accountability almost at will. And so I'm not in the business of trying to convince someone that I can do this and it's going to work out. I just let them think whatever they're going to think. And then I tap into a source where I can get the encouragement and motivation that I need.
Yeah. And that's a great program. And mm-hmm. here's the thing. You could lead a horse to water, mm-hmm. but you can't force them to drink.
Exactly.
You know? And that's really what I think everybody today wants a book or a video or, you know, even Gary Vee says it. Mm-hmm. Stop listening to me. Go do the things I'm telling you to do.
Right.
You're not going to get successful by just watching my Instagram videos.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Information is information, but applied information is what gets you the success.
Where I think going back to your original statement, fear mm-hmm. becomes the you know, divisible factor in that.
Right.
You know, now that I got the information, how do I overcome fear to then apply that information?
You know, fear is an emotion given to us just like joy, anger, bitterness. And so while I get the spirit behind people saying, be fearless, live fearlessly, it's not possible. So what you have to do is manage that fear. And you manage it by taking those initial small steps that stretch you a little bit outside of your comfort zone in an environment that will be supportive of that. Because the more you stretch, that will become your new normal. And then you'll stretch again, and that will become your new normal. And instead of trying to get that huge thing done, let's just start with that very first step. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's writing a proposal. Maybe it's reaching out to someone. And in those increments, you begin to manage fear better.
And don't forget, you're going to get punched in the face. You're going to fall down. You're mm-hmm. going to fail. But it's okay, you know?
Absolutely. 3 months, about two to three months before I was given the opportunity to work with Steve in my own business, one of the biggest business deals I had ever put together in my business completely fell apart.
Unreal.
Completely fell apart. And
did you fall apart almost?
You know, I always tell people, you want to crawl in the bed, right? Pull the covers up and turn out the lights. And the truth is, that's exactly what I did. I crawled right. in the bed, pulled the
See,
covers up.
See, that's real.
And
that's what I'm talking
lights.
About.
Because I think you need to feel, you can be pissed, you know, you can be angry, you can be upset. And then you slowly have to say, okay, now what's next?
You have to use those emotions, though, to yeah. help you, like, get to that next step, I feel
and look
like.
At you
exactly.
now.
Yes.
Right there with Steve Harvey. Jory, thank you so much. How can people find more information about the program and yourself?
They can go to actlikeasuccess.com, and they can get details on all of our upcoming events and programs that we have to help you reach your next level of success.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
Oh, yeah. We're in the home stretch here, folks. We're here till 3 o'clock. The guys from The Beat are coming up after that. And this is the favorite time of the show for a lot of us here in the studio because it involves sangria and alcohol.
Did you call my name?
Oh, yes. Dave. Oh, look, there he is. Dave just woke up, by the way. you mentioned Sangria. Officially has woken up because it's time for Sangria Festival happening Sunday, August 20th in Humboldt Park, going from 12 to 10. And we have the event founder, Michelle Gomez, in studio, and mixologist who just crafted some fantastic sangria for us to taste, Misriel Saravia. Thank you for joining us, both of you.
Thank you.
Did I say that wrong? Did I mispronounce it? Good enough? Yeah. Good enough. All right. Good. I like that. I like when somebody says good enough. That's proper.
You can
proper
say etiquette. Missile.
What'd I say?
You can just say missile.
Missile? I like that because he's on fire.
He's so, a mixologist. Oh, he sure is.
Right. Exactly. Did you try any yet, Dave?
Not yet.
I know you're dying.
Oh, yes. I could smell it. It smells delicious.
Eli, why don't you grab a sangria for our producer so he can actually function better back there on the board.
Right.
He won't miss hit anything.
And you know what? Your listeners are going to love us because we're going to give tickets away. Michelle brought some tickets for us.
And hopefully some recipes of how to make a fantastic sangria. What goes into Sangria Festival? And then we'll talk about what goes into the actual drink.
Yeah, it's a day long. It's a Sunday. It's for family and friends to come out and enjoy the entire day there. You could bring your chairs and your blankets and relax the whole day and enjoy some good craft sangria and food.
Music, too?
We have music all day as well.
Live bands?
Live bands.
DJs?
Yep. 5 live bands and 3 DJs.
Nice. And how did you come up with this idea? One day over sangria, you were sitting there drinking. Like, we should do a festival about this.
I've participated and produced a few events and festivals that I've over the years, and sangria was always a part of Sangria Booth, that, and we'd bring in mixologists as well there, and it always did really well, so we decided to go ahead and make an entire festival out of it.
And this is your second or third year?
This is our second year.
How did the first year go over?
It was really good. We had a really good turnout and really good response, and people were, last year, were, I want to come back. I want to come back next year.
What areas of Humboldt Park do you guys take over?
So we're over by the Puerto Rican Museum on Division and Sacramento.
Is sangria originally from Spain, is it? Tell us about it, sir.
Well, sangria is actually, it's made out of bad wines. So you don't put a good wine on sangria because
it's made out of bad wines.
Bad wines,
really?
Yeah,
like Trader Joe Two Buck Chuck kind of wine.
Yeah, very much. Because basically you don't want to waste really good wine on sangria, because what you do is you ferment the fruit with the wine.
How long does it usually have to sit?
Mostly a day or two if you want to suck all the alcohol on the fruit.
Because the best part is when you start chewing on the fruit at the end.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
That's the tricky part.
That's where it gets you really drunk.
So you brought two different types of sangria, a white and a red. Why don't we start with the white? What's your famous recipe for
the white? I use Prosecco.
Ooh.
A lot of people use Chardonnay or Pinot Grigios. But I use Prosecco because Prosecco is a little bit drier. So
the Prosecco is a champagne, or is it it's also a type of wine as well?
It's a type of wine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it gets the fruit more moisture.
So that it absorbs a little bit more into the fruit?
Correct.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And what kind of fruit would you recommend for your white?
Well, for the white, I'm using pineapple. I'm using pears, lemons, oranges. And they're not in this one, but I want to use peaches as well.
Now, do you make a vat of it, like a big vat of it, and let it just sit?
Yeah. Basically, it's like, 8 gallons?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll probably be mixing in 10-gallon barrels.
And how much sangria do you think you'll go through in one festival?
Well, last year I made 8 gallons. No, I made eight gallons
eight,
barrels
10 gallons.
Times
10 eight. Gallons.
So, yeah, so it was like 80, 90 gallons of sangria. They went like this.
How many people usually attend the event?
Last year, we sold out our advance tickets at 1,000 people.
And that's all the drink? That seems like a little, not a lot.
Well, no, they haven't.
I could probably kill a gallon myself.
You'll be dead, trust me.
I'll be dead.
I was going to say.
Yeah, with the cheap wine, I probably would be a massive hangover.
You'll be gone.
Does anybody really make a sangria with a high-end wine? I mean, because the whole thing about a low-end wine is that you're going to wake up with a headache tomorrow. You're going to get a hangover. Is that part of the sangria experience?
Regardless, if you drink good wine or bad wine, you're going to have a headache the next day because wine is mostly dry.
Right, and sugary, right? So it's the sugar that gives you the headache, right?
It gives your body a hydrate.
Huh. Interesting. There's no way of getting around it either.
No.
Good wine or bad wine, you're going to wake up with a headache.
Absolutely.
Dave, in your experience, because I know you have lots of it, is there a better red or white? Do you prefer red or white when it comes to your sangria?
I prefer red for some reason.
Why is that?
The white, I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. But the red one is, I feel that it's a lot better. And you know what? The good thing is that if you want to have dessert, it's already included because all this fruit, you know,
right?
You just flip it over. Once you finish it, you flip it over on a plate and that's your dessert right there.
See, Dave's he's crafty.
Oh, yeah. I use all my resources.
Survival skills for those who like to drink at festivals is if you're getting hungry, you could, you know, turn your cup over.
Exactly.
And that has the most alcohol, by the way, because the, like he was saying,
what does
the fruit absorbs?
The fruit itself
absorbs the liquor. It's very fermented.
Well, Jenna's our in-house mixologist. She's a bartender as well. Yes. Jenna, have you tasted the sangria?
Not yet. My mouth is like salivating over here. Just like,
do you want to try some?
Absolutely.
Why don't you get up and get
some?
Yeah,
I'm
going
to.
It's only like 5 feet away.
I know, but
walk over there.
I'm just going to chug the whole thing. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
See, someone's even bringing it to me. It's even better. Oh, this is dangerous. I haven't even finished my coffee.
Let's talk. While Jenna's sampling this, and she's going to give her 2 cents on this, food-wise, I mean, you can't have sangria and not eat because then you'd get, you know, you'd be drunk and walking, stumbling all over the streets of Humboldt. What are you offering in terms of your food?
We have some great food vendors coming out this year.
Tell me about it.
Tapas Valencia is coming in, and they will be making paella on site.
What goes into paella? What's a good paella?
They're going to do different vegetables and chicken paella. And
chicken
they're going to
do
a vegetarian one.
So, paella itself is basically yellow rice, right? Tons of veggies. I love a good seafood paella. And I've seen it made in giant
pans.
Is that what they're going to do?
Yes, they're bringing out their giant.
Oh, that's so cool.
Huge pan and cooking live.
That's a visual experience that anybody who's not experienced a live paella cooking should go just for that, right?
And the sangria. Yeah.
And do you like it?
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
I like how it's like very, like I like the berries in it. I've never had a sangria that's been like, I don't know, berry-based, I guess is what I don't even know if that's like the right term, but like most of it I normally have is like oranges and apples and pears, but I...
Yeah, we
and
use
I
a
like
lot
white.
Of fresh fruit.
Yeah.
We'll be chopping a lot of fruit on
site. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know how that goes, but this is delicious.
Tell me about Masada.
Masada is also going to make some sangria, and they're also using their booth space for Sultan's Market, and they'll be serving falafels.
Ooh, so Sultan's Market is a restaurant, or is it a...
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And they falafels too. This is a Flash Tacos is going to be there.
Flash Tacos.
Are they doing fish tacos or?
They're doing a little bit of everything. Last year they were with us as well, and they'll be coming back this year. There's steak, chicken.
What's taco in a bag?
Taco in a bag. That is a bag of nachos.
With taco meat.
And they have different flavors.
See, that's my kind of meat right there, man. What is it?
Like a walking taco.
It's a walking taco. So you just carry, is it a brown bag?
Yes.
And you just throw a bunch of nachos, and can you pick meat and cheese and throw it in there?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's like a dream. So you're like, my wife is like, oh, the food's got to be on this side. Like, the chips can't touch the meat, and the cheese has to be portioned on a plate. For me, it's like I just
put
it all in. And why? I mean, why? It's all going to the same place. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's a burrito, Dave. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the update there. That's
a
burrito.
We have San Lucas Kitchen. And they're our benefactor. They have a church in the community, and they feed the homeless on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they'll be raising money at their booth. So all the proceeds from their booth will go directly to the food kitchen.
So not only is this a fun drinking and eating event, you're actually going to be supporting a good cause in the process. And in terms of your bands, I see a list here, the Bandoleros, which... I'm a huge Gypsy Kings fan. That's
awesome.
We're
very excited to have them this year, and a lot of people there's a big buzz about them coming out and performing.
Yeah, I got to make it to this. I've seen Gypsy Kings 3 times at Ravinia, one of my favorite bands. Caribe Project.
Caribe Project is a salsa band, and then we have the Purple Elephant Band that's Latin jazz, and they're doing Bruno Mars.
Really? Purple Elephant Band. Are they a cousin of the Caged Elephant? right? Yeah. Is that right?
Yes. Cage the elephant.
Cage the elephant. And then live flamenco, Cadencia Flamenca.
Yes.
See, this is my kind of event. I grew up, I mean, I lived in South Beach, Miami for 15 years. And this is what I lived. I love this experience, the culture. I recommend going out and checking this out. And not only are they going to have great food, great music, great drinks, they're also going to have dynamic display of art that we have in studio, which we're going to talk to some of the artists in just a moment here after our break. It's the Sangria Festival happening Sunday, August 20th. I'm holding up the poster. If you want to go online to wgnradio.com/TV or watch, you'll see us on there. It's happening Sunday, August 20th, 12 to 10. You're listening to the sweet sounds of Bandoleros, which can be heard at the Sangria Festival happening Sunday, August 20th, 12 to 10 p.m. You got to make it out there, folks. Great sangria, great music, great art as well. We're speaking now to Tony Porfirio and Tamara. I said it wrong, didn't I? Tamara Porfirio. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming in. I butchered that. It's the sangria. Blame it on the sangria.
It's the I always do.
It's the festival's fault, really, quite honestly. So you guys own a place called Pino's and Pino's Palette.
Correct.
Tell us about Pino's Palette. Now, where is it?
We are a paint and sip art studio located in Logan Square. It's a night out. It's a fun date night, girls' night. We do corporate events, team building, bachelorette parties, birthday parties, you name it. And we're going to be taking it on the road for Sangria Fest.
That's exciting. And so people can interact, and at the actual fest, we'll be able to paint just like they would in the location?
Absolutely. We'll have our artists on hand to kind of walk you through the painting. And it's a fun experience. You know, we kind of go out of our way. Well, first of all, we were so happy when Michelle brought the idea. We just thought that was like a brilliant idea. We loved it. It didn't have anything to do with that. She said there'd be 100 to 200 gallons of sangria at the, that was just something I found out about later. But anyway, we were like,
that's a perk,
such
man.
This is such a great idea. So it's fun. You know, we kind of go out of our ways to do like tangible things and tactile things with our kids, but we don't ever do that stuff. You know,
sure.
We're on our tablets, on our computers. We very rarely unplug. That's what's so fun about painting. It's like you get to move physical things around and create something, and you leave with it.
Are you guys artists yourselves or dabble?
Dabble.
Dabble.
In the paint and sip, I'm probably more on the sip experience than
you're the sipping side. Yeah. Are you the painting side of this thing?
I wish I was the painting side. No, we're looking. We had longtime Logan Square residents. We were looking for something else to do in the community. We've been very active the last 25 years, and Logan Square is all about art, and this was a great way for us to bring the art and entertainment side together and bring a fun night out to the community. So we've got, you know, full bar on site so people can come in, have their drinks, get creative, and it's out of the wheelhouse for most of the people that come in. So it's really exciting to see them tap into this creative side that they haven't touched maybe since kindergarten.
And the alcohol helps, right?
Liquid courage, yeah.
It does, because it just takes the edge off. The whole thing is about relaxing, which is what we're after. So it's like, I mean, a cocktail helps. Yeah, especially
have
like,
you noticed,
delicious sangria.
Have you noticed like when you're kind of, you know, being your proprietorship and you're walking around and people are painting and then the evening starts out in one fashion and their artwork starts out in one fashion. How does it transform towards the end of the evening when they're almost done with their experience?
Believe it or not, it does get better, and I'm not saying not proponent like the best way to be productive is to drink a lot, but it does relax people, and I think people usually start off a little tense. They think it's going to be harder than it is and they can't do it,
and their artwork reflects that, right?
What was that?
Their artwork reflects that, right?
Painting absolutely reflects your personality within 5 minutes. Like, you could tell whose sock drawer is super, super neat and who is just having a good time.
My sock drawer is messy, man. I don't even think I have one. My socks are all over the place.
Yeah, mine are just thrown in. It's like, just figure it out. Yeah, I'll find you at some point.
I don't even coordinate my socks anymore.
My clothes, not my socks. No one cares about socks. Yeah, you're not looking at my feet.
Exactly.
He's not kidding.
I can imagine that, though. Like, you know, if depending on also like your mood, like if you're really, really happy, you probably see a lot of like crazy bright colors. If you're maybe pissed off at the world, maybe some blues.
Wait, breaking news. Hold on here. Stop the presses. I just got a text from the 219 of a picture of a taco in a bag. Look.
Wait.
I've never seen this before.
No way. I can't believe you've never heard of a taco in a bag.
I have two young children. I watch Disney Channel.
You should exactly know what a taco in a bag is.
I don't go out anymore. I don't have a life.
You should. It is.
This is breaking news for me.
I have to agree. Taco in a bag is pretty kid friendly.
It is. It is. I'm a little disappointed.
Is there a legit taco in a bag store? I mean, how do you tell me about it? Lincoln Park?
I do kind of. I think she's right.
Taco in a bag. What
I mean,
a
maybe
concept.
It was just me, but like every, I don't know, basketball game I went to as a kid that was at any, you know, park district, you know, and they sold food at the concession stand, it was like.
I grew up in New York. We didn't
have
tacos.
Yeah, I grew
bags.
Up on the South Side, so it's a little different, but everything was thrown in
a
bag.
We had a gyro in a bag.
It's like a taco in a bag. Yeah, it's pretty close, just different meats.
Yeah.
It's there.
Totally I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this taco in a bag is going to be way better than the one at the high school basketball.
No, I'm definitely going to agree with you
so
on that.
Hold on. We have an official on the phone here. Rob, hey, thanks for calling the Frank Fontana Show. Now, you have a walking taco stand? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's good. If you go to like a concession stand, especially South Side, Southwest Suburbs, it'll be called a walking taco.
That's what I'm talking
a
about.
A walking taco.
Yes.
Still haven't heard of that either.
It's in a bag. It's the same thing. It'll be in a Dorito bag, and you just crush up the Doritos or Fritos.
So
and you
good.
Scoop out all the cheese and the meat.
Oh, man. I love you, Rob. A Dorito bag?
You'll see him once the kids are at the ballpark and you're getting a hot dog. You'll see a walking taco right next to it.
Man, that's amazing.
And
I'm sheltered. I'm a sheltered
to
child.
Too?
So, Rob,
exactly.
are you like a street vendor guy, or are you like a part of the stadium over there by Sox Stadium?
No, I've just worked at concession stands for my high school and all kinds of different stuff. Go to a lot of high school and younger kids games, a lot of friends games. So
cool, man.
I've just been to a lot of them, and that's mostly what I've heard them called.
It looks delicious.
That's like the nachos, the Mexican nachos. They put cheese, beans, and the tortilla chip kind of, sort of.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah, it's kind of all the same stuff, except for it's just crushed up in a bag with a spoon.
Awesome. Rob, thanks so much for the call, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Yeah. Taking over. So let me talk about you guys here, Tony and Tamara. How'd you guys meet?
Wow. Tamara was president of a university of the student body, and she hired my band to come and play at her school.
That's where I was going at, because you're like rock and roll, and she's...
A little bit country.
A little bit country. And I don't mean anything negative by that. I just mean you guys look like, you know, slightly, you know, different ends of the spectrum here, you know, slightly conservative. And just by his Sox comment is where I'm going with this. And you look like a rocker, man. You look like you just came off the stage at Lollapalooza.
Shania Twain meets Led Zeppelin.
Just a side stage, though, not the main stage or anything.
Just the main stage. What's the name of your band?
I'm in three bands currently. Red Pop Fury is our cover band. It's kind of a disrespectful iTunes shuffle kind of thing. And then Simple
what
Simon.
What does that even mean?
Well, we're just kind of all over the road.
iTunes
we don't play Brown Eyed Girl, but you might hear a Supertramp song and a Lord song. So like we kind of go all over the road.
And a little Rush in between.
Yeah, maybe a Rush song in between there. But yeah, and then I'm in a band called Simple Simon that was kind of big in Chicago for a while in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then a band called Blackmaker, which...
are you allowed to be in three different bands? Is there any loyalty issues?
No, and it's out now, so now I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean... I hear you.
Did you hire him because
how did
you thought he was cute?
Yeah. Well, Okay. In all honesty, we had a deck of tapes that we had to go through, and literally, okay, this is 1990, just to date ourselves here. Throw in the VCR tape. A bunch of my girlfriends and I were sitting around drinking, watching these tapes, and we're like, ooh, these guys are good and kind of hot, so let's bring him in. So we did, and
she put you on the casting couch, man.
I'm actually a long-time paid employee. I don't know what that's called. What's that called?
It's called a kept man. That's what that's called. That's awesome, man. So you guys met, and then like how far into this did you say, oh, we're going to do this business? You know, like we've been down this road. Do you have kids?
We do.
How many?
One.
How old?
She's 16.
She's at Lollapalooza
16.
Right now.
Oh, God bless.
Junior at Lane Tech, yes. Yeah.
That's cool. So now you're like almost empty nesters, right? Almost, I said. Almost.
Yes.
A little too much already. She's always, her agenda is crazy trying to keep up with her, but we'd rather her be around a little bit more.
I doubt she's listening right now.
No.
Yeah, I doubt it.
She's listening to the Cage Elephant, probably.
Yeah, Cage Elephant. There you go. Which I never heard of before today. I don't know why.
Learn something new every day.
Exactly.
Yep.
So then you decided how long ago to open up this place?
We started a little over 2 years ago or so. We've been open almost a year and a half now. It's been a fun road for sure.
Was it everything you dreamed of and more?
You know, obviously, new business. We're all the struggles of a new business. But the thing that's been great is, first of all, working with artists, working with a bunch of young, talented, fun people, and we get all the Tinder drama and everything, so it's kind of fun.
Has to be fantastic.
It's good. At the end of the class, we get to have some sangria and talk about all the fun things that they were going through. So we get to live strangely, vicariously through them. But it also just things like this, like Michelle comes walking through the door, goes, I'm doing this festival right down the street. How'd you like to do that? We're like, what? This is great. So we get to meet all kinds of awesome people and be parts of things we would never have.
This will be your first time with the festival?
Oh, yeah. And she's being a little bit modest. A first-time festival, they have like 1,000, 1,200 visitors the first year, and already the sales are great for this year. It's pretty remarkable. They really hit – it's a good idea to hit the ground running like that.
Awesome. Now, you brought some artwork in studio. Do you want to talk about some of the pieces here?
Sure. We've got this one over here on the right-hand side, Goodnight Chicago. That's an original painting by our artist and studio manager, Molly English. We have all local artists, all have fine arts degrees. We have a fabulous art team. Starry Night Chicago is a really popular one that people like to sell out the studio for, which is awesome. We do a Project Pet painting. We always partner with a local shelter, or we've got one coming up with the Chicago Veterinary
That's a really great portrait of a dog there.
Well, and it's a great way for people to either paint their pet or memorialize a pet. They send in an image of the pet to us. We print a grayscale image onto the canvas, and then they come in for a three-hour paint party, our artists help them recreate the image.
So you have like artist mentors hanging around.
We do. There's always one on stage who's literally guiding you through step by step to create the featured painting. And then we have floor artists who are circulating and helping with more one-on-one attention.
Fun. Sounds like a good place. Where can people find the location?
It's Logan Square, 2768 North Milwaukee.